Hey, what's up, everyone? You are on the Eden Podcast, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope that the next 30 minutes will help you to become the person that God always dreamed you could be. Let's get started. Hey, what's up, Eden? It is so good to see you this morning. I don't know about you, but it's starting to feel a lot like Christmas around here, right? It's getting cold and chilly, and you're probably listening to Christmas music by now. Maybe some of you have gotten a tree and have started to decorate it, but I'm so pumped that we get to do this every single week and stay connected. If you've been part of the Eden family, you know we've got so much love for you. And if you're new to the conversation today, we want you to know that we're especially grateful that you decided to be a part of the conversation today. It's a gift to have you here. My name is Daniel. I'm the lead pastor here at Eden Church, and we are all about helping people take a next step with Jesus. And my prayer is that somewhere over the next 30 minutes, you would connect or hear from God, perhaps in a way that you never have before, and consider taking that next step in a relationship with Him. Now, I am so pumped because today we are continuing in a series that we started a few weeks ago that we were calling Heaven, Earth, a Future Worth Fighting For. And what's interesting is we're kind of doing like a little series within a series, because last week we sort of launched our Vision Sunday Part A, and today is Part B. But the entire series for us has really been trying to grasp this idea of Jesus's vision for the future. And what Jesus talked about is that someday there was going to be this moment when God's kingdom, where His presence is, and God's creation become one. And what I love about this vision is, to me, is this promise that no matter how bleak or dark or hard our circumstances become, we can have hope in the promise that God has a plan and a future and a purpose for our lives. But one of the things that we also learned is that Jesus' vision for the future was really building off of God's plan from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Because when we look at the Garden of Eden, that's exactly what it was. It was God's presence, His kingdom, and God's creation in harmony with one another. And we started talking about how we know what the past was meant to be and what our future is going to be. But then we started asking the question, like, what is the role of the church now? How do we bring heaven on earth here? And we started looking at some of the content in Scripture, and we learned that the church is the hope of the world, because those of us who are followers of Jesus have God's Spirit in us. We have the opportunity to influence our world for God wherever we have influence. And so it was has been a really helpful conversation for me. But then last week, as we started talking about like what vision is for this church, we stopped asking the question, what is the role of the church? Like, how does the church, with the capital C, bring heaven here on earth? And we started looking at how Eden Church is going to bring heaven to Silicon Valley in 2021. And so we started casting vision. And I know that in some ways it is really hard for us to even think about vision and looking and planning for the future, because in many ways we haven't even really had a chance to mourn the past, right? Like 2020, we had a bunch of things that we wanted to do. We had a bunch of unmet expectations. We have a bunch of plans that we never got to execute on or experience. And so in a sense, we are going through this season of grief and mourning over the past. But the challenge with focusing our attention so much on the past is that sometimes it has the potential to keep us from the future. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And Paul was sort of describing like this spiritual process in his life. But the principle is that if we spend too much time looking at the past, we can miss what God has for us in the future. And so last week, we began the conversation of what the vision is for Eden in 2021. And we saw, like, as we look out into our cultural climate and this cultural moment that we're living in, that the church actually has an amazing opportunity to step into all that is going on in our world. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but like when you look at the world and you look at businesses and organizations and even ministries, we see that like people are starting to tighten up on their generosity. And the vision for our church to really leverage this moment is we ask the question, like, what if the church could be more generous in this upcoming year than we have ever been before? What if in this season of ministry for Eden, we could plant churches and could invest in spiritually under-resourced areas if we could continue to support some of our local partnerships like Foster the Bay that has a mission to like get every kid out of the foster care system. Or organizations like the Bay Area Anti-Trafficking Coalition, where their mission is to equip organizations to pull people out of the grips of sex trafficking. What if this year for Eden Church could be the year where we invested more than we ever have before? The other thing that you may have recognized about this area is that we notice that there has been this mass exodus out of Silicon Valley in the Bay Area, both businesses and people. So many people are leaving this area. And as we're watching this happen, we thought, what if this was an opportunity for Eden Church to begin laying roots in this city? Where when everyone seems to be moving out, we tell our city that we're not going anywhere, that we are in this for the long haul, that we want to lay roots in this community because we want to have a lasting spiritual impact that lasts beyond the lifetime of even our church. And so with that in mind, we said that in this next season, we're going to start setting aside resources for a 24/7 space hub of ministry to maximize the impact of what we're doing for generations to come. And you're going to see us talking a lot about this, right? And we have sort of tagged it as the For the Future campaign here at Eden Church. And we'll talk about it for the next few months. But this is for Eden, a future worth fighting for, where we become a more generous church than we've ever been. And we begin to lay our commitments deeper, our roots deeper in this city than we've ever done before. And my hope is that at the end of this time, as we look back at 2020 and the months to come, that we would all feel proud about how our church responded to the needs of this community. So last week, if you were part of the conversation, and if you weren't, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, watch last week's message, because it'll give a lot of context to what we're talking about today. But we casted vision about what 2021 is going to look like, and today we're going to talk about how we're going to do it. Now, some of you may have been a part of the cleanup day that we had here at True Hope Community Church. This is where we're filming our services out of. They have been so gracious to us over the last few months and has been a blessing to us. And so part of our relationship, we wanted to help maybe clear out some of the stuff in this facility and help to organize it. And so we did a cleanup day, and we had a team of people from Eden show up. I mean, I felt like it was a well-trained Roman ancient army, right? They came in here and we just started working, and people were sweating and getting dirty and stinky. And I think someone even may have like started bleeding blood or something. I don't know. But it was like an awesome day of hard work, 6 hours. And we were like finding ancient artifacts from like when this building was built. And it was this really cool experience, but we literally filled a truckload worth of stuff that we just were getting rid of. And we took a bunch of stuff to give away at Goodwill. And it was this really amazing day of partnership and working together. But what was so awesome about this day was the picture that I had in my mind of what was transpiring with these two churches working together. And it was this one church that was willing to say, we're going to make room so that our facilities and our campus could have an even greater impact. We're willing to clear out what we have, things that were used for past ministry opportunities, and we're going to make space for this new church to come in and maximize this space. And I loved the picture of this, that they were making room for more generosity, for more service, for more ministry, for more outreach to this community. They were making space for more of what God could do through two churches working together. And last week, we talked about trusting God with more. And this week, we're going to talk about the power of making space for more. in the Christian life. And so to do that, we're going to be looking in the New Testament at one of the many biographies of Jesus' life, and we're going to look at the one that was written by a guy named Luke, and we're going to look at an account of where Jesus, on the very early stages of his ministry, begins to build this team, and we're going to see how in just a few people, he is moving the faithfulness of a few people so that their lives could experience more of what God has for them. And so let's begin reading in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read all the way from verse 1 through verse 11. It says, "One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' And at this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners into the boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, 'Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man.' For he was awestruck by the number of fish they caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people.' And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they began to follow Jesus." I love this story of a person's faith sort of progressing quickly in a short amount of time. You see, Peter was like this fisherman, a master fisherman. He lived near the Sea of Galilee. He fished there his entire life. This is how he provided for his family. This is how he made a living. And so we know that, like, Peter's knowledge of the Sea of Galilee, of where to fish and how to fish, it was vast. Like, this was his backyard. He knew all about it. And I think about, like, Tommy, your dad is a fisherman, and if he were to go to a certain lake in Indiana, I bet you he would know, like, where to fish, what type of bait to use, what type of year to go, what type of fish he was going to catch, where in the lake he should fish. Like, he has this vast knowledge. And that was sort of the perspective that I think Peter had. And so it was interesting to me to look at the way that Peter responded to Jesus when Jesus showed up and told Peter how to do his job. I think that it was a little bit hard for Peter. And we know that because of how Peter responds to Jesus. He kind of gives him an explanation, and he says, "Jesus, we have already been out here literally all night working hard to try to find fish. And at the end of all of this effort, we have found nothing." But he respected Jesus, right? He calls him master. And he says, "Because you have asked me to do this, because you have asked me to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to trust you." And we see that, like, as soon as Peter trusts Jesus, it changed the way that he saw Jesus. He literally moved from, like, calling him master, identifying, recognizing as this authority figure, all the way to getting onto his knees and beginning to worship and praise Jesus. He saw him differently. And we know that this was like this real perspective shift in his life. Because we're told that, like, as soon as he docked the boat, as soon as they hit the shore, it says that Peter literally left everything to follow Jesus. And in a sense, what Peter was doing is he realized how God could use a small amount of faith and turn it into something amazing. And he wanted to clear his schedule. He wanted to make more room in his schedule to find out if there was more of Jesus that he could experience. It was this process of, like, making room for more. You know, my brother is this really spontaneous person. He's really funny. I remember one time he came home with this girl, and he promised to us that there was like nothing in the relationship. It was literally, she was just literally a friend. And we all had these private conversations with them, and he convinced us all that like this was a purely platonic relationship. And then the next month, we get a phone call from Las Vegas, and they had just gotten married. And so my brother kind of operates that way. Well, last month, my brother and his family moved to Texas to help plant a church. And I was just wondering, like, what is going on? Because he has an amazing job that requires a lot of time in his work, but it's an amazing job. He had this amazing community of relationships in Southern California. They live right on the beach. And I was thinking, what are you thinking? Do you know what it's like to plant a church? All right, do not do it. Okay, what are you thinking? But he did, and I asked him why. I said, you know, Ray, why are you making this decision? And he said, Dan, I just feel like I have to make room in my life to see more of what God is calling us to do. I'm in this adventure. He wanted to clear his schedule to make room for more of God. And I think that it's like this really interesting pattern in our life and in our faith where God teaches us that sometimes you have to let go of what you have to make room for more. It's like this process of receiving and then releasing. And if you notice, like Peter has this pattern. Like he had this moment of faith to trust that he was going to throw his nets out where Jesus told him to. And in light of that little bit of faith that Peter had, he received this great blessing. But what's interesting is that Peter thought that if he wanted more of what God had, he had to be willing to give up the blessing that he already received. And I think like as we think about our personal journey of faith or these personal moments in our life, like that is the pattern, right? That when we receive a blessing from God, sometimes we have to have enough faith to know that what God has for us in the future requires that we let go of that blessing that meant so much to us at one season of our life if we are going to receive what God has for us in the future. And that's part of like what we're doing as a church. As we are casting this vision, we are saying, yes, God has done so much in our church in the past, and it is great, and we celebrate that, but we are not going to focus all our energy as if that's all that God wants for us, because in a sense, I believe that like what we have seen in this church is really just in seed form, that we are still waiting to see what God is going to continue to do, but part of the challenge and the discipline that we have to have is to know that what we have today, God didn't intend for us to cling to and hold on to, but he wanted us to sort of be this conduit that when we receive this blessing, we give the blessing. We receive it and we release it. And when we think about like all the rhythms that are tied to our faith, I think that there is no rhythm that teaches us this pattern like God's vision for our generosity. And I love that every year around this time, we get to have this talk about generosity, because what I have noticed year after year is that as people step and understand God's pattern for generosity in their life, it unleashes God's blessing in their life. And so I love that we get a chance to sort of process this together, to look at God's rhythm for generosity, how it is this pattern of receiving and releasing. And the Bible actually calls it the tithe, and the tithe literally means 10%. And the idea of the tithe is that people who identify as followers of Jesus get to give back to God 10% of what they receive. And so it comes from this Old Testament passage in Malachi, one of the most prominent passages that talks about the tithe in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough money, enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. You know, what's interesting about this statement is that this is literally the one time in all of Scripture that God says, test me. And what he is asking us to test him in is this pattern of receiving and releasing. He is saying that if you are faithful to trust me with your resources, I am going to pour out my blessing on your life. And so God wanted us to trust him so that we could experience the blessing of his abundance in our life. And then look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. The one time, one of the few references that Jesus ever makes to the tithe in the New Testament, he says, yes, you should tithe. Jesus wanted them to experience the blessing, the positioning of God's blessing in their life. And then we look at Paul talking about investment and generosity in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And this is what he tells them. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You see, the way that Paul was like talking about this is he was saying that your money, in a sense, is a seed. And when we invest, when we reinvest our resources into the work that God is doing, he multiplies that. And like our generosity represents the faith that we have to trust God, and he blesses us back. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to bless you with more money or more things, but what I'm talking about is this principle that it is better to give than to receive. And what God is showing us through generosity is how he blesses our life with relationships or with opportunities or with connections or with joy in our heart that we could never receive outside of learning the value of generosity. And I loved that these people that Jesus was teaching was learning this, like the early church was learning, that if they trusted God with the tithe in this area, God was going to always provide for them. Now, we don't teach what they call a prosperity gospel, right? We're like, if you give a little bit, God is going to give you a bunch of money so that you can buy a Ferrari and a jet. But we also don't teach the poverty gospel, that like money is bad and that you should be poor and you should have literally nothing and you need to give 100% away of what you have. But we do teach a provision gospel, that when we give faithfully, God is faithful to provide. And this early church community was learning this. And they were learning that it was so much better to live off 90% of what they had if it was blessed by God than 100% if it was without God's blessing. They were learning that the pattern of receiving and releasing was this pattern of making space for more. And I think about like the journey that I have been on when it comes to tithing and generosity. Like, it started off really small. I was in college, and when I went to church, I would kind of just give what I had, whatever was in my pocket. And I loved that process because I loved our church, and I saw the impact that they were having in our community. And so for me to give the little that I had was this blessing, right? It was wonderful because I felt like I had an opportunity to contribute to the work that was happening in our city. And then someone taught me about tithing, and that was a big step, right? I mean, I wasn't making a lot, but it was challenging me to give more than I had ever given before, and it took like this adjustment. It didn't feel good. It felt a little unnatural, but over time, it started to become more normative in my rhythm, and I saw the blessing, and I saw what God was doing in my life as a result of taking those steps of faith and generosity. And then I heard someone talk about giving above and beyond the tithe, like the tithe was the baseline. And I thought, are they crazy? This is crazy. The church wants all my money. And then I just thought, but I'm going to try it. And as soon as I started trying to give above and beyond, I noticed that God was forming and transforming my heart through greater and greater generosity. And I love how over time, like, God takes us on this journey where he is teaching us to trust him with more. And in a sense, every month when we receive Those resources, we understand, right? Like all the blessing that we have in our life comes from God. And if we understand it from that perspective, then we know that like when we receive it every month, when that paycheck comes into our hands or when it's deposited into our bank accounts, it's an opportunity for us to give back to the work that God is doing in making space for more. And it is this rhythm in our life. And I love that there is like this principle that we see in Scripture where there is the tithe, but there's also this principle called the first fruits. And in the Old Testament, in an agrarian society, the way that it worked is that this would sort of be like this annual gift that went above and beyond. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops," giving God our first and our best. And I have noticed that like the type of people who have stepped into generosity at this level are the happiest people. They're the people that have the most joy, that are least attached to their money, and they begin to see their money not as like their security, not as their hope, but as a tool for living out their life in the most meaningful way. And I wish that I could tell you all the people in this community that are giving at this ridiculous level. I mean, we literally have people in our church who instead, if they decided not to give to our church, they could literally put a down payment for a house here in Silicon Valley. They could literally travel the world. They could buy cars, and they could have so much more material possession. But instead, they invest in this community. Because what they have learned is that it is not crazy to invest your resources into something that will last beyond their lifetime. It is crazy to invest most of your money in things that will not last. And they have bought into this vision that Jesus created when he talks about investing in spiritual things. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal, but store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also." What these people have learned about investing in the church is that when you invest in this ministry, you are investing in people's lives now and into eternity. Their money, their resources are going towards something that will never last and what never end and always last beyond their own lifetime. And what they are learning and doing as they give is they are attaching their heart to the church. I think the second thing that generous people who in this church who have been ridiculously generous to this community know that at some point it is not even about the money. It is about creating space to experience God at a whole new level. And I think like that was Peter's perspective. In this story that we read, he had the biggest catch of his life. There was more money in that one catch than there might have been in the money that he made the entire year. But when he saw what Jesus was willing to do with this tiny, begrudging, sort of frustrated faith that he was willing to offer, and how God blessed it, Jesus blessed that little faith, he wanted to see what God would do if he cleared his entire schedule and said, "God, I'm willing to follow you and give up everything to see how I can experience more of who you are." And he literally left that blessing on the boat. He left his boat and his net and his lifestyle to follow Jesus because he wanted to be on the adventure of faith. And I think that this is what generous people have learned, is that at some point it is not a sacrifice. It is about this adventure that you are on with Jesus. And what you are doing every year as God is challenging you to trust Him with more, you are creating more and more space, not because it's a sacrifice, but because you want to see what God will do with your faith in this next season. And so these people, they just kind of wait and see what God is going to do. And we kind of share with you these stories about our personal generosity because, one, I never want you to think that we would call you into something that we have not been committed to ourselves. My wife and I, we have skin in the game. But we also want you to know that, like, we have been on the journey since I was 23 years old. I have been tithing on every penny that has ever come into my hands. And God has shown me that He can do so much more with our little gifts than we can. And what we have learned along the way is that it is never easy. In fact, sometimes every season it can get harder. I've heard people say, you know, it's going to just be easier for me to give when I make more. But that is not true. Okay, when I was in college, I didn't care what kind of car I drove. I didn't care what kind of clothes I wear. I didn't have a lot of needs. But all of a sudden, when you start making more money, you start seeing what you could have and what you could buy and where you could go and what you could do. And the more you make, the harder it gets. And what we have learned, though, all along the way is that if you are faithful to God in this one area of your life, He will fulfill His promise. He will be faithful to provide for you and to bless your life. And I feel like there's always this challenge when we have this generosity talk, because I know that as soon as we start having it, there is a high chance that I will be misunderstood, that my motivations will be brought into question. But I want you to know this right now from the bottom of my heart. I do not care if you ever give a penny to this church, because I know that God will provide for me and my family. I know that God is going to provide for our team. I know that some way, somehow, God is going to use the church to serve this community. So I want you to hear from me right now that personally, it makes no difference to me whether or not you ever choose to step into generosity at any level. But I say this for you. We teach this for you because we know that what generosity does to the heart, nothing else can do. That if you want to break the addiction to greed in your life, the solution is to become more generous. If you want to stop depending on money as if it is a real security in your life, it is going to because it only happens through generosity. If you want to unleash God's blessing on your life like you have never experienced before, it is going to come through generosity, because we believe from the bottom of our heart in this church that it is so much better to give than it is to receive. But it takes faith to understand that. It takes the willingness to trust the words of God in this area of your life to experience what it's like to know on the back end the blessing of generosity. This year, we have cast vision for the future of this church, that we want to go deeper and wider than we have ever gone before. We want to bless our city, but it is going to require every single one of us that call Eden Church home to step into this together, because there's not one of us that can do this alone. And so as we step into this next year of ministry, I want to challenge this community in two ways to consider being a part of it. First is for those of you who have never stepped into the tithe before. That means 10% of your income. And one, when I was kind of processing what this meant for me, I once asked someone, I said, is that 10% of your gross or 10% of your net? And they said, well, that all depends. Do you want God to bless your net or your gross? And I said, all right, Lord, gross it is. All right, we will tithe off the gross. But I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider stepping into the tithe. And I know that seems crazy, right? You guys are thinking 10% of my income. I want to challenge you just for the next 90 days to do it and to see how your life is different at that level of generosity. In my opinion, you have nothing to lose. And this is the reason why, because what we're going to do is if you step into the 90-day challenge to begin tithing, and on the back end, if you feel like there hasn't been like a satisfactory life and heart change, we will literally give you every penny back in this church. Send us an email, no questions asked, send it right back into your account. Wham, bam, we're done. But I want to challenge you to consider having faith at that level and to see how you will enter into a new playing field with your faith. The second challenge is for those of you who have already been in a rhythm of tithing in your life, I want you to continue stepping in at another level, at the first fruit level, right? Like this annual generosity opportunity that we're providing for our people. And this is the first time that we've ever done it. But we want to ask you to help us in this next month raise $100,000. And this $100,000 is going to go to our For the Future campaign, where we are going to go wider in our generosity to this community than we've ever done before. And when we're going to be setting aside resources to go deeper in this community than we've ever done before. And the way that we're going to work it is the first $50,000 that we raise in this next month is going to go 100% toward the support of Ministries Beyond the Walls of Eden Church. And then the second $50,000 that we raise in this next month will go toward a seed investment toward a permanent facility. And so we're asking you to prayerfully consider how you might be a part of that. Like tithing, God makes very clear. But this end of the year generosity opportunity that we're providing through the For the Future Fund, this is where you get to just kind of have fun and just say, God, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to do? And you get to pray. And what's really fun is if you are married, you get to like pray with your spouse. And what's really fun, if you want to try this, is you can literally say, hey, let's just pray separately and come together on a figure and see if God leads us to the same figure. And sometimes that can be like really scary, right? But I know that my wife and I are in the same process and we are praying. We're saying, God, how do you want us to invest in this next season of ministry in this church? And what's fun about this is that we really get the sense of giving with a cheerful heart, giving out of the abundance that God has blessed us with. You know, one thing that we also recognize in this season is that it has not been easy for everyone. Like there are some of us in this community that are experiencing the weight of the financial crisis that we're facing in our culture. And if that is you, I want you to know that this is not for you to release out into this fund. It is, we are actually preparing so that you can receive from what God is doing through the generosity of this church. You know, this next step is really a big step for our church, this next season of ministry. And I think it is an opportunity for us to leverage this moment to make a difference in our community like we have never, ever done before. But one thing that I am learning about the life of church and ministry is that the growth of our church and of this community will be directly tied to the sacrifice and the generosity of our people. And I'm so excited that we get to step into the next leg of this journey together. Because what I have come to realize is like, man, every bit of life change that we are experiencing right now is a result of someone else's generosity. There are some of you that are engaged in our church for the very first time over the last 8 months, and it is a result of someone else's generosity that gave us the ability to buy these cameras and to use platforms that allow for us to project this all over the world. Some of you are here today because you got a mailer several months ago about a series that we were doing, and you are here today as a result of someone else's generosity that allowed for us to purchase those mailers and spread the hope of Jesus all over our community. There are some of you that are here today because you showed up to an event that we were hosting, and you were only here because someone else says generosity gave us the resources to host that event. You think we like hosting events? We don't, okay? They're fun. The reason why we do it is because we want to create an opportunity for people to get connected to Jesus. And there are so many stories of people that are here today whose marriages have been transformed, whose relationships have been transformed, whose lives have been completely gone upside down, addictions have been abandoned because of people's generosity. I think about all the lives that have been changed. And I never want to move away from those stories when it comes to our sacrifice. Because we sacrifice today believing that these small little bits of offering that we offer to the church, God is going to multiply to transform someone's life. I think about Tommy and Sophie that so many of you know, but there are a couple in our church who showed up to an event several years ago because someone who was attending Eden invited them, and they came. And they had nothing to do with church before they showed up. They had no background in faith. But they came because there was something about this community that drew them and attracted them. And Sophie came again and again, and she would sneak out the back so she didn't have to talk to anybody after service. And then eventually she joined a group that we were able to lead, and we were able to provide dinner because of other people's generosity. And in that group, her life was radically transformed by Jesus. And then she started inviting her boyfriend, Tommy, and Tommy started showing up. And week after week, we would see Tommy there watching and engaging in the music. And then we started having deeper conversations, and Tommy started going to a group, and through that group and a few other events, Tommy's life was radically transformed. But it didn't just stop there. Then they started leading a group. And then they started leading ministries. And then they started using their life and their sacrifice to become spiritual leaders in other people's lives. And I think of the story of Tony Sue, who in our church would just invite people all the time, and how one day she was standing on the corner of the street inviting people into service, and she ran into one of her neighbors, Patty. And she said, "Patty, you got to come check this out. There's a church that meets here. They're good people." And Patty shows up, and her life is transformed. And then over the last few months, we've been in a pandemic. The church has literally been turned upside down. But somehow in the middle of a pandemic, we have seen dozens and dozens of people step into faith. We've seen 10 people go public with their faith through believers' baptism. And did you know that that only happens because there is a community of people in this church who are committed to generosity, committed to going without so that we can continue to have a spiritual impact in our city? I'm telling you that what you are doing through your generosity is literally transforming people's lives. You are literally transforming someone's life journey that will last beyond your influence. I think it's funny how every week we have this opportunity, every month we have this opportunity to receive and to release, trusting that God has more for us. But it is, in a sense, a picture. The sacrifice that we make, it's a picture of the sacrifice that God made when he gave this world his most valued relationship, his own son, so that those of us who were distant from him because of the decisions that we've made in life, through his sacrifice, could be cleaned and washed away so that we could be given another opportunity to connect with God. And there may be some of you here today that are hearing this conversation, and you're like, man, I don't even understand what's going on. I've never sacrificed. I've never had a relationship with God. And if that's you today, you have come to the perfect place, because you got to hear today how we think about the opportunity we have to serve our community. And we want to invite you. I want to give you an opportunity today to trust God for the very first time, to create space in your heart for a new type of life, a life that doesn't require you to carry the weight all by yourself, but you become aware that there is a God who has always been carrying it with you from the beginning. And if that's where you're at today, here, searching and seeking, wanting something new, something of significance, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation that God has provided through the sacrifice of his Son. And it's really simple. All Scripture ever guides us to do is to simply pray and to receive. And so wherever you are, I want to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Close your eyes and bow your heads. And there's nothing special about the words. It's just whether or not these words reflect the condition of your heart. You can repeat after me now. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sacrificing your Son so that I could be clean and that I could enter back into a relationship with you. Today I want to receive that gift, and I want to step into faith, trusting that you can use my faith to do more with my life than I can. Today I want to begin following you. I want to leave behind the old life and step into this new life. God, would you fill me with your presence? Would you give me the strength and the courage to follow you in the days to come? In Jesus' name, amen.